something is happening where in the what I'm calling the defragmentation of human consciousness, we're coming back into a richer and more true relationship. And it doesn't in any way negate our diversity and our individuality. It greatly enhances our individuality because when we're not investing so much energy and fear in maintaining the boundaries, then that energy and actual love can be used in very productive ways.
Hello, I'm Julie Kroll. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Each week we gather right here to make connections that break through the illusion of separation. Welcome. Your journey of conscious evolution continues right here, right now. Imagine a spring thunderstorm rolling in. You can see the clouds building. The sky starts getting dark. The birds stop singing and an eerie quiet sets in. There's a peaceful stillness, yet you know you're about to get hit with a force that could be rather destructive. A thunderstorm is nature's way of gathering energy together that needs to be released. As the storm passes, there's a relief of tension, a sense of clearing, and a freedom. This freedom follows this great tension, and things feel fresh and clean. The world seems renewed. What if consciousness is undergoing a similar energetic clearing and repatterning? What if the work of our collective awakening has transcended to the unitive mind of humanity to be freed from old patterns of separation that have had their day and are ready to become something new? You might say we've begun a process of defragmentation, where the collective consciousness of the species is reorganizing in a complete an accelerated way to serve conscious evolution and the dawning unitive age. Even among the chaos of change and in stormy moments of anxiety, know that this too will pass, like a ravaging spring thunderstorm. Attuned to the light of your being and higher guidance, trust in your heart that the crises on the planet is a passing, clearing process of defragmentation, a reorientation or recalibration of sorts. So what does this mean for you? And what does it mean for us as a collective? I invite you to take a few conscious breaths, bring your awareness to your heart, relax and open your mind, and settle into your essential wholeness as I introduce my guest and good friend. I'm so excited to have him here, Jeff Van Rekloot. Jeff is an advisor, author, and mentor to individuals who are committed to healing and awakening in their life and their work. He helps people to navigate complexity, lead with wisdom, and build enlightened organizations that increase well-being for all. Over the last 14 years, Jeff has cultivated sourcing practices that have transformed his whole being into a tuning fork for truth. And he's offered this gift in service to awakened leadership and impact worldwide. Jean Houston says, Jeff is a modern Merlin. He is profound in the mystic way, the understanding of more levels and patterns of reality than we see in our normal everyday state of consciousness. Jeff is co-founder of Sourcing the Way, and he's a member of the Evolutionary Leaders Circle, the Global Compassion Council of Charter for Compassion International, and the Association for Spiritual Integrity. He serves on the board of directors for the Alliance of the Earth and Garden of Light, and he was previously the board chair of the Source of Synergy Foundation and the Happiness Initiative, now Happiness Alliance. After graduating summa cum laude with a degree in mathematics from Williams College in 1995, Jeff co-founded or contributed significantly to many startup ventures, including a top 10 internet service and a number of media technology companies. While writing software in 2010, he recognized that the real source code is consciousness, and that the true application of technology is the healed and awakened world. Now, before I welcome you, Jeff, I just have to tell our listeners, they usually don't hear me read that big of an introduction. And I've had you on this show many times, Jeff, and you're one of our fan favorites. But when I read your bio on the website again, I just thought the wealth and the depth and the breadth of your wisdom is so essential on the planet. I wanted everyone to really hear what it looks like from the outside. And then we could just throw it all away and be in source consciousness with you. But it's so important to just really hear. And I just love you so much and trust you so much and really appreciate all the gifts that you share with me and the greater world. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Julie. It is a joy to be back.
Yeah, it has been a while. I think we were in COVID, and then maybe in 2021, we had a show like after COVID. We were talking about the meaning of COVID. And then we started the Main Street Mystics, and I haven't had you in that series yet, but I'm sure we'll get you there sooner or later. But here we are in this time. And the metaphor of this spring thunderstorm felt like an easy way to bring our listeners into a very big topic of our collective consciousness, of the human mind of the mind. And I thought, let's start there. But I want to talk about this defragmentation. It's like defragging a computer. Most people go, oh yeah, you have to defrag the computer. So we can use other metaphors too. But first, I think it's important to really look at how you define the world and our relationship to the world before we really dig into what this means for human consciousness. Because you look at things with a very truth orientation, and sometimes it's a little different than mainstream's definitions of what we're thinking or how we've been on the planet or from a definition from separation consciousness. So let's talk about the world and how you see the world. You say, when we recognize what the world really is, we see that it's an outpicturing of deep-seated beliefs within our individual and collective psyche. Say more about that, Jeff.
Well, first I want to acknowledge that there are many beliefs and belief systems that fit together into a beautiful whole. And when I'm sourcing, which is to say when I'm listening deeply into the roots of being and beyond being for the, let's say, real meaning from the perspective of source, I am not wishing to step on any toes or beliefs. When I ask the question, what is the world? And at the beginning of the year, I was really contemplating this, in light of the world situation, which is very difficult. What is the world really? And I was asking the question because I already knew that if we are clear about who we are, what we are, what the world is, then we have great capacity to heal ourselves and our circles and the planet. And in fact, when we're not clear, when we're in confusion, then we're extremely disempowered. And the source of confusion, the root of confusion, is adherence to the idea of separation. And this is talked about extensively in spiritual circles. There's a huge process in which all of humanity is trying to shift out of the paradigm of separate self, separate from God, separate from nature, separate from other people, in air quotes. It's quite a journey. And it's like the thunderstorm you talk about, a total reorientation from what is actually an unreality, because separation is impossible. So everything that's built upon the sands of separation is fundamentally unstable and actually, at the end of the day, isn't really there though the storm is loud and the winds are strong and the rain is coming at us horizontally and hail is pelleting us, the experience is dramatic. So I wouldn't contradict the difficult experiences that we are collectively having on the planet, excruciating experiences in so many instances. And yet, when we're extremely clear, dare I say, it's obvious that the world that we see around us is actually a symbolic representation of our deep inner state individually and collectively. As long as we think separation is real, because certainly God, certainly divinity, certainly source is big and I'm very small, clearly. Well, that's the root of the issue right there. If we believe that, then what we see around us is suffering and conflict. What do we see around us today? We see a lot of that. But we also see, at the same time, we see so much goodness. In fact, if we could quantify the amount of suffering and conflict relative to the amount of goodness, it's actually quite small. But what's noisy gets our attention because it's a healing process. When there's a boil on your arm, right, that's a very small part of your physical embodiment, and yet it has your attention. And we might look at the boil and say, something is terribly wrong, and yet it's a healing process. So humanity is healing from the idea and the belief that we're separate. And the process of healing is a process of becoming whole, or we could say defragmenting the hard drive of the human mind and heart. So it's not just the mind and the heart are not separate. In fact, they're also one. That idea of separation between the mind and the heart, the masculine and the feminine, God and human, is the root of the issue. So let us heal from these fragmented notions and ways of being and relating. Then we see a world that is harmonious. And actually, I say now we see a world that is harmonious because we can run the experiment in real time today. And the process of what I call source realization, some say God realization, but if we say God, there are many ideas about what God is. There are also ideas about what source is, fair enough. So I use source realization. There are stages, there are layers, there are levels of deepening into source realization. Early on the journey, we see the results of defragmentation in our own very personal, very local experience. And then people around us start to be more peaceful. People might show up in a very different way who have their whole lives been negative or, in some kind of a conflict pattern. That can change without having to convince anyone of anything. Actually, proselytizing isn't ultimately necessary, though it can be good practice to share good news, at least. And then as we deepen further, communities become more peaceful. I have witnessed this in communities that I'm part of that where previously there was a lot of egoicity and competition and striving to be seen, hundreds of people have come into a harmonious coherence where co-creation happens quite naturally. And then as we deepen all the way into source realization, as frankly, we know we are source and all is source because nothing was ever separated from source, then we see the flourishing of all of life. So until we see the flourishing of all of life, the apparently external world is a signal that we have work to do. And by the way, if one is enlightened, but the world is, I'm saying in quotes, one is enlightened in quotes, but the world is still evidencing struggle, well, there's still work to do. So I invite us to be really, really humble because everything that seems to be out there, the horrible stuff I'm not even going to name. It's right here. It's right here in this. It's right here in the Jeff, in the Julie, in every one of us, because we're co-participating in this field. It's a field of healing. So let us say yes to the healing. And that actually is greatly facilitated by finding joy and staying in joy, even when the news is, so dreadful. Find joy. Because that is how we can, at least one of the ways that we can lift out of the dreadfulness. And so a spiritual practice is remaining as peaceful, as joyful, as we can in this very storm that we are now experiencing.
Well, you lightly touched on relationship. Jeff. And so I want to read this sentence that you wrote and have you expand just a little bit more on relationship. True relationship with the world is to be the source and creator of the world, to know oneself to be the source and creator of the world, and to act accordingly. What more do you want to say about relationship? It's important. It's a big shift. And I love how you introduced world. As long as we see world as that thing out there that's separate, again, we're in separation consciousness. And it's a big one because we think, okay, we're all one, but there's the world out there and there's those people who are doing this and that, and there's the conflict. So we don't see that. And you're really inviting us into relationship as source creator of all of this. So what else do you want to say about relationship?
I call it true relationship because it is, seeing things in the correct perspective of knowing what is the source of what. And knowing what is inside what. Are we inside the universe? Is the universe inside us? To some extent, it's a both and. There's a Jeff vehicle that I am experiencing the universe through. And yet the universe is in that which I really am, this which I really am. So there is relationship. There is interpenetration. You know, the whole is in all of the parts. Every part is clearly in the whole. And one thing I look for is the extent to which there is what I call transpersonal holding. Okay, so if we're very identified with our individual body expression and personality, then the capacity to see that the whole world is in us is quite diminished because, you know, clearly, you know, the senses report that this body, personality, individual is walking around on a very large planet on a vast, potentially infinite, in a vast, potentially infinite universe. And, you know, clearly the Earth is flat also by that token. And if we can expand beyond our identification, then we can embrace everything around us as part of us. And we expand further, and now the whole human family, the whole web of life is part of us, inside of us. So then I visualize a bowl in which the Jeff and the Julie and the ocean that I'm looking at, the sun is about to come up, and all the birds that will be flying, and the sea turtles that are going out to sea, you know, they're all in me, in this. And when I say me, I could use all capital letters because it's not the Jeff personality that I'm talking about. It's the source expressed as called Jeff, called Julie, same source, by the way. So if I were ever to say I'm source and someone else isn't, I mean, that would be like absolutely antithetical to this work. I am the light and you are the light. I am the avatar and you are the avatar. We may be at various points of realization on the journey of avatarhood or sourceness. Does not negate the fact that you are 100% source and I am 100% source, 100%. True relationship is knowing that and then seeing everything else as source too.
Yeah, I love that. When you said earlier, you said, I am Jeff in this vehicle. I'm just Jeff in this vehicle, or I'm the vehicle of Jeff enjoying the universe. That's how you said, I'm the vehicle of Jeff enjoying the universe. And you followed it up with an and what I instantly heard was, and I'm the universe enjoying the vehicle of Jeff inside of me. Like, it's like this really a delightful relationship when we truly understand and embody this. And yet sometimes it's hard on the journey of being human. How do we get there? So let's talk about consciousness. And a lot of what you're talking about, Jeff, not only bridges a lot of wisdom traditions and spiritual truths throughout the ages, but also the new science that's coming in that's really helping us to understand and move beyond mechanistic science and where we've been in this whole paradigm of separation. Neil Donald Walsh calls it the theology of separation, and others call it the illusion. Einstein said it's an illusion, a delusion of separation. So let's move into this defragmentation topic, because it's really a nice roadmap, if we can get it, to weather the storm, like to really understand the illusion of the storm and to really welcome that clarity and that newness. It's almost like the everything. I'm sensing this, Jeff. I don't know about you, but I have to rethink everything, reimagine everything. And most often I'm in just the flow of everything. But if anything is staticky in the field or there's any dissonance, I literally stop and just pause, and it reframes itself pretty quickly now. But this is a good idea. I shouldn't say a good idea. This is a powerful map that could help people move through the trajectory of where we're at on the planet right now. So tell us more about this idea of recalibrating and the defragmentation that you're seeing in our collective consciousness.
Yes. Well, first I want to talk about the trajectory of science and discovery. And really, it's a single inquiry. Science and spirituality are a single inquiry into what is real and what is true. And I jokingly wove in, well, clearly the senses tell us the Earth is flat earlier, because that's what the world looks like from a certain vantage point. Maybe standing at sea level and looking at the ocean, it appears to be very, very flat. So our experience tells us a lot about the world, but not everything. So when we inquire using our expanded capacities for knowing, and I would include intuition as well as our ability to reason and deduce facts about the world, then we get a more complete picture. And when we take into account what the planet looks like from 60,000 feet, then you can begin to see the curvature quite clearly, and satellites and so on give us even more of a God's eye view, shall we say. So we have many instruments with which to explore. And the most powerful instrument is consciousness. Consciousness is actually the substrate of everything that we see. And it is variously defined. So I won't go into that. But consciousness as a whole, it's not just individual consciousness. Like Jeff is conscious because he can talk and answer questions in a reasonably compelling way. Jeff could pass the Turing test, for example. So I'm not an artificial intelligence, or am I? So yeah, consciousness as a whole, consciousness writ large. And it's consciousness writ large that has been fragmented. Now, there is a mind of God, we can say. There's like a super mind. And then there are layers and layers and layers of mind as we move from the experience of oneness into the experience of collectivity, which consciousness very much enjoys the play of the one and the many. There's nothing wrong with collectivity. Collectivity isn't separation. They're not synonymous. However, if we start to believe that one individual is different, well, different is one thing, but as in separate from another, then we start to experience dissonance. And if we believe something, then the fact that we are actually the creator of the world, individually and collectively, we are as one the creator of the world. That means we have the power to outpicture what we believe. So believing that you are separate from me, we're different in all kinds of wonderful, diverse ways, but that you're separate from me? Huh. Okay, then I'm going to start to experience evidence that confirms, oh yeah, Julia's over there on another continent, and Jeff is over here in the Southern Hemisphere. And then I will build a story, and I will believe the story, and wow, now we have a defragmented hard drive. One file is over here in this sector, and another file is in that sector. Or worse still, the file of Jeff is now split into a billion different pieces that, unlike Humpty Dumpty, can be put back together. And that's defragmentation. Recognizing where we have held things to be separate isn't true. Ah, so we can systematically forgive the fallacy of separation. It's a bit of a leap of faith in that the evidence of our eyes and ears might contradict what we know in our heart to be true, which is the connection and the oneness. But if we follow the heart's knowing in this case, we will start to experience the evidence of, oh, there are these fields of being. Dr. Julie and Jeff are are overlapping. And I'm seeing and hearing and experiencing a lot of stories of telepathy these days, where people are just knowing what's going on in other minds around them to a much greater degree than even a few months ago. So something is happening where in the what I'm calling the defragmentation of human consciousness, we're coming back into a richer and more true relationship. And it doesn't in any way negate our diversity and our individuality. It greatly enhances our individuality, because when we're not investing so much energy and fear in maintaining the boundaries, then that energy and actual love can be used in very productive ways. So our computer, if you will, loosely following the metaphor here, becomes a lot more powerful when we're not running the separation operating system.
Hmm. Very nice. Our friend Jude Curvin says, we don't have consciousness. We are consciousness. We and the whole world are consciousness. And when you hear her say that in that way, it brings what you were saying, is like Jeff doesn't have his consciousness, which is separate from Julie, who has her consciousness, which is separate from those who we believe don't even get it. Like, how often do we hear that in the spiritual community? Like, they're not awake. They don't get it. It's like it's all this consciousness that we're all consciousness. And so let's go a little deeper then into perhaps that roadmap of how do we get through this trajectory right now, Jeff, of this process. You say, let me read what you wrote. The human family has passed peak fragmentation of consciousness, and now the creative forces of life are working to unify the fragments of humanity that have been acting out of confusion, fear, and ignorance, and thereby causing devastation and suffering on a planetary scale. As a result, a new outpicturing is rising and a new world is manifesting. And I love this quote, pause. I love this quote because there's the outpicturing. It's kind of how you've helped us see the world as the outpicturing of my consciousness and where I'm at. So now, as a result, with the defragging and what's happening in the collective, a new outpicturing is rising and a new world is manifesting. I think people can envision this shift. People can envision. And, you know, we have a friend, David Gershon, who says peace on earth by 2030. And years ago, people would go, that's impossible. And yet more and more are coming on board with him in his work with the Peace on Earth game, saying, I can envision it. I could see it. We're moving in that direction. So this relationship of the fragmentation that's been happening and then the creative forces coming in, it's almost like there's this new coherent field, and now we can outpicture a rising of this new world for humanity that's coming into form. Speak more about that, please.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I feel the void in this moment, actually, the immensity of what it means to manifest an entirely new world. Where does it come from? It comes from great, great depths and vastness of being. And at the same time, it's entirely here. Peace on earth by 2030 is not only possible. Peace on earth is here. Peace is on earth now. And if we look around us, we will see plenty of evidence of peace. There is more peace than conflict. If there had been more conflict than peace, the world would have completely fallen apart. As much as it feels like the wheels are falling off the world, this is actually not the case. Peace is here. And when we recognize that peace is here now, that the immensity of goodness is here now. And it's funny to call it the void. What is the void but the absence of suffering and consternation, confusion, ignorance? So actually, the void is very full, and what it's full of is you, you as source, you as the source of all of creation, all that you see manifest and also unmanifest creation. So So you, I, we, all capital letters, are manifesting continuously. And we are already manifesting the new world. Now, the signal, we can talk about signal and noise. Actually, it's all signal, because everything we're manifesting is the perfect representation or outpicturing of our deep inner state. And so our deep inner state has been a mix of this and that, of apparent conflict and peace. But actually, the truth is, deep down, there's great stillness, great awakeness, great love. And everywhere we can see the evidence of that in the, quote, outer world, we're actually reinforcing the feedback loops of creating more of the outpicturing of love. So when it is said that what you appreciate appreciates, what you see and invest your attention in grows in the world, that's exactly true. Because then we're energizing the feedback loops of creating the world that works, actually, the world that is true, that reflects true relationship, the knowing of our creative nature, and the fact that we are continuously creating the world around us at all times, which means if we're continuously creating the whole world all at once at all times, we can actually create the whole world, the whole universe. We can recreate it, actually, in a healed way, in an instant. So the extent to which maybe in our minds we are doubtful and skeptical that change is possible, it's going to take longer, right? So many teachings, very, very important, valid teachings say, yeah, it's going to be about 4 generations for things to turn around. And I would say that reflects our collective self-doubt and skepticism. But if even one, I'll say one of us, because there's only us actually, it goes all the way, then the world is remanifested now in a healed way. So when the Buddha woke up, he said, the universe woke up as well. That is, and this is absolutely true. Now we need to see, the work is to see that the healed, transformed, awakened world is here now, is completely here now. And something might say, oh, wait a minute, but what if I'm wrong? What if I see evidence to the, just put those thoughts aside and just see what happens. Yeah, just observe the doubt, don't fight it. But just know the doubt isn't true. The healed world really is here. And then it will probably still take some time because collectively, you know, we're waking up at different rates. But all the difficult wars and events that we keep reading about, you know, will heal, are healing, actually are healed on the deepest level. So know that the healed world is here now. And then it will go from being a little crocus in the spring to a bud that opens and flowers. It's inevitable. I know that humanity gets through this difficult initiation. I know that all of life is thriving in not that many years, not that many years. I've had dreams and other ways of knowing that have shown me very clearly we are outpicturing anew. The decision has been made within the mind of the species, we could say, that humanity is one superorganism. So all the individuals are expressions of the superorganism. And humanity has consciousness, has agency, has the ability to decide that we have run the separation experiment long enough. So the decision has been made in the collective mind of our species that we are now healing. And there may still be some boils that evidence the fact that the healing process is a little painful or a lot painful. We are healing.
So the boil metaphor is a really helpful look at, sometimes it looks like we're just spewing with this ickiness in different places around the planet. But if we think about the human body with a boil, like it's inflamed, it hurts, it's hot, it's red, and then this pus comes out and we feel relief. But it's the body healing itself from the inside out, and then it heals from the inside out. It's a good representation as we're looking around. If you're noticing inflammation out in the world, again, check within and really look within yourself and see what's going on. Are you angry? Are you upset? I'm noticing, Jeff, so many changes in my relationship with time-space, in my relationship with direct communication, in my relationship with manifestation. There's an immediacy to things. It's like, I want to get out of the chair. I want to get off of the computer and out of technology. I want to move my body. Like if there's anything, like if I'm working on anything, there's a moment to pause and just go move my body and get out of the chair, to get out of working on things. It's like, I can't work on things. They just work through me. And when I'm shifting and allowing the work to flow, I'm so much more productive than before when I would create space, time and space to work on something. It's like my relationship with that is completely changed. And I'm wondering if you're noticing what's happening with others around the planet as you're looking at this time and these changes in the human species.
Well, time is maybe the place to start here. People have been sharing with me that they're experiencing timelessness more, experiencing that time is definitely not linear. Maybe it's circular, maybe it's spiral, maybe it's not even real. And so a couple things happen as a result. One, there's an acceleration. Time is being released, kind of like air out of a balloon. Time is being released from the system, from the construct of the unreality that is premised on separation. Time helps us to, well, have the time and space needed to put the pieces back together. As we put the pieces together, the need for time, and to some extent the need for space, is no more. So yes, as the air of time leaves the balloon of consciousness, then things seem to happen faster. Many have reported a quickening. Also opportunities that have been in the works for a long time. People are saying that deals and projects are coming through in a beautiful way. And that's a reflection of the healing. That's almost like a confirmation. Yes, you are defragmenting the mind. Yes, you are seeing with the eyes of wholeness. So now things are going to work better. Things don't work well when life is trying to get our attention, that we believe in separation. Life is saying, hey, you believe in separation. So I have to show you how that is. Through world events and situations in one's personal life. So as we heal, time decreases. And also when separation dissolves, when the fences, when the walls between us become translucent, transparent, and then become nothing at all, which was always the case. I mentioned telepathy earlier. That might sound fanciful, but we automatically and intuitively know how people are doing around us. And we stay respectful. In my experience, even when we have complete access to the mind of the species and we could theoretically look through the eyes of any other human on the planet, which is true, and I know people who can do this, when you're coming from love, you're also respectful, right? We're respecting one another and the individual expressions and perspectives. So boundaries somehow happen and are maintained automatically. And so there's a coexistence of the one and the many in relative timelessness, which increases our collective intelligence because minds can now communicate effortlessly. And so collaborations happen. We can coordinate locally on our individual projects, companies, whatever it might be. We're going to see, though, at the species level, that we begin to collaborate effectively in addressing the huge challenges like climate change and pollution in the oceans and so on, which seem absolutely insurmountable and are insurmountable as long as we're running the operating system of separation. Running the operating system of unity, we naturally do the right thing. And we don't have to talk about it a lot. And it happens a whole lot faster than we would have ever thought possible running the old OS.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about it a lot. It's almost to like, I'm noticing, it's almost like energy medicine, right? It's like, the old way we would work through congestion or difficulties or shifts from what's ours to do, the old ways of doing it doesn't work anymore. So like journaling or talking it out, like you say, it's almost like this instantaneous clearing just through thought. It's like the unitive thought is boom, done. So I want to ask you what our listeners can do to really be good stewards of this now. But I just want to drop in first, which might be a little side conversation here, of your work with the Ladder of Awakening. Because I think helping people understand the Ladder of Awakening is a good way for them to know their reality as that one, like to know their sourceness. So you wrote, the specific calibrations are not as important as the recognition that everything fits together into a great braid of awakening. All insights, practices, teachings, and traditions have their place and serve until one has awakened beyond what they have to offer. And I think this is a gentle way of saying, you know, we're still in it, guys, and this is the process. So share with us a little bit about the Ladder of Awakening, and then perhaps what can our listeners do to really be good stewards of this unity and this defragmentation process that we're now bringing the new in with?
Great, thanks. Wonderful question. Well, in terms of the Ladder of Awakening, it's a metaphor. And if we work with the metaphor, as we climb the rungs on the ladder, we actually see the world from a different perspective. And maybe these rungs are really big. So the 10th rung of the ladder gives us an astronomically different perspective than the first rung, or not even being on the ladder. And so not even being on the ladder would be what we could call in spiritual terms, ignorance, not knowing what we are at all. Now, something in us never forgets, but it's like the teeniest spark of truth and light that's just waiting to be kindled into a conflagration of awakening. So that will come. This first, second rung of the ladder is where, let's say, humanity has been in the last few hundred years since the Enlightenment, referring to the Age of Reason more than spiritual enlightenment, where we started to move out of our compulsions and reactive patterns into a clearer investigation of what is real and true. So science is actually liberating, absolutely, and enlightening. Now, there are further levels of enlightenment, awakening the heart. That happens around the second rung. We start to move into the possibilities that love has to offer, real love, in terms of the unitive impulse, the reminder of our real nature. And we move up to the third, fourth, fifth rung, and we start to see a much vaster view. Now, this is equivalent to talking about the re-manifestation of the world, the re-outpicturing. So as we get to a different view in our understanding and our perception, as creator, we're actually recreating the world at this level. So beyond the fifth rung on the ladder. And again, we don't want to worry too much about the individual rungs. And I definitely don't want to say, you know, this teaching, this practice, this religion or that religion belongs somewhere on the ladder, because I don't want to make comparisons. I just want to say that as we climb the ladder, we move into our true knowing, our true agency. And so like the seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th rung of the ladder, we move into real creatorship and real capacity to bring forth the healed world. So how does one do this in a practical way? Well, there are practices. Gratitude. I talked about joy earlier. Find your joy. Follow your joy. Stay in joy. Forgiveness, which is another way of saying letting go of the grievances, the grudges, the retribution tendencies that exist within the collective psyche. All of us have it. We all have it. If you spot it, you got it. So forgiveness is actually a very powerful and deep way of healing from separation. And as we forgive, we climb the ladder without maybe even realizing it. Awakening can be gradual. It can also be sudden. It, pretty much always is a mix of both. It's not one or the other. But if we're leaning into healing from separation, then it's going to be a steady process of climbing the ladder out of seeing a world in flames to a world of light, where you can't even necessarily identify the source. Now, this gets a little bit esoteric, but I've been hearing increasing reports of people saying that they're seeing light and they can't tell where it's coming from. Like, it's not the light of the sun. It's not the light from the overhead bulb. There is an inner light that is shining through all of form. And this is what happens as we climb the ladder. The light of truth shines through. And we have additional capacities for seeing beyond what the physical eyes can see. And we have additional capacities for knowing beyond what the brain can deduce. So maybe fundamentally, be hopeful, be optimistic, know that the profound transformation that the world is crying out for is not only possible, it must happen. It actually must happen, because truth and reality are what is sustainable. And the experiment of untruth, again, the belief in separation, is unsustainable. It must end. In fact, you could say it's the one thing that has to end.
Yeah. Or as you would say, has already ended, and we're already out picturing. So yeah. we're in this beautiful co-creative space, this co-evolutionary dance with the universe, and out picturing the new world from within. This is a good place maybe to share my dream last night, because as I was preparing for the show yesterday, reading through some of your materials, last night I went to bed and I had this beautiful dream. I would love to hear you, not that you're a dream analysis or interpreter here person, but it was really a clear, profound dream. I'm going to read it like I received it so I don't forget any little details here, but it was beautiful. So I was in this place and the whole world was feeling so congested. Humans were disorganized and everywhere. Like, this is how the world appeared to me, is like there was disorganization and everybody was all over the place with many discordant worldviews and beliefs, opposing values, and lots of crises and conflict. Sound familiar? There was this large group of planetary healers with me, here to help humanity heal the wounds of separation consciousness. But we were so perplexed. There were so many humans. We didn't know where to begin or how to begin or what to do. So we were feeling a bit hopeless and frustrated and a lot of fatigue. We were all just so fatigued looking out at all of this. And I began playing a magnet game with my grandchildren at the kitchen table. And I snuck one of the magnets underneath the table and I began moving all the other magnets around from underneath. And the kids were like surprised and like watching it, like there was magic happening, right? They were all like in this delight going, what's happening? And they didn't know what I was doing. And they were very perplexed. And I started laughing and I showed them what I was doing. I took my hand out from under the table and showed them the magnet and put it back down. And then they began playing with it too. And my grandma said, and my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter said, hey, grandma, that's how you and your friends can rearrange the collective consciousness of humanity. Be like magnets and find the right frequency. And all of a sudden, all the healers hopped up and began working on a human cymatics table. And we began playing in this large earth laboratory where just a few of us could rearrange consciousness by changing our own personal frequency. So instead of turning on the cymatics table, we were all just like turning on our own frequencies in unitive, like there was no separation with who we were, and we began playing with frequency. And as our frequencies changed, the table began to automatically rearrange all the parts of consciousness into beautiful patterns with unity, harmony, balance. It's gorgeous. If you've ever seen a somatics table, it's incredible to watch. And with each frequency shift, we acquired more collective power. Like all of humanity was one, all of consciousness was one, and there was no messy out there anymore. So, Jeff, thank you for that dream because you inspired it, but I'm curious what that speaks to you.
What a perfect dream. And this is how it works. You talk about magnets, and if we think of humanity as a bunch of iron filings, so each person is a little filing of iron, and the iron filings are thrown on the table and they're going every which direction, and they're in disagreement with one another because they're pointing in different directions, which somehow represent opinions and ideas of what should be. Introduce a magnet, and now all the iron filings align with the field lines of the magnetic field. And it isn't that Julie or Jeff is showing up and saying, no, no, this is how it should be. We're going to go with my opinion or my idea. The magnetic field is what is true, is the underlying foundation of love to which we align when there's a kind of inner pull that gets strong enough. And I have met people who didn't have much spiritual practice, and somehow they just shifted into peace, and they couldn't say why. And it was very clear to me that they were in a field of consciousness where peace was a prevailing feature. And so they naturally entrained to, or they're being magnetically aligned with the flows of their context. So we create a context in which healing happens naturally, in which collaboration and co-creation occur relatively effortlessly and ultimately completely effortlessly as we get very aligned. And anyone who becomes a sufficiently powerful magnet, and by the way, you're not powerful if you're not actually aligned with truth and reality and love. So to become a super magnet means to become, well, what keeps coming to mind is Christed. And I don't usually use theological terms, but this is what it is. It's embodiment of love and then availability to serve the needs of life and the individual and collective journey that we're on. And as long as it's a journey where we're embodying and bridging the change, we have to literally be and embody the change that we wish to see in the world. So it's an inner alignment that then becomes expressed through our own vehicles. And the miracle, though, and it'll be called a miracle because it won't be understood, is how humanity collectively just wakes up. It's almost like we wake up one day and we don't have interest in fighting. That's just gone. It just, and we can't even understand why we did it.
Yeah. You know, the thing that, as I was listening to you talk about the magnets, I was thinking about that dream. And in that dream, we began in separation consciousness, because even the planetary healers that were there were seeing the other. It was like, oh, there's so many. We had to change consciousness. It was like there was so othering still. And then it was, I loved how the children brought in the shift. Like I went to play a game with my grandchildren, and then there was no separation in any of it. We just became those frequencies, and everything happened so easily and effortlessly. So thank you for bringing that in. I do believe that in that one day we'll wake up and not want to fight. Like I believe I'm right there with you. And there's this innate genius that we're remembering, but these innate capacities are just turning on. And I think as we're turning them on, we can't even fathom being in separation anymore. It's like there, it just doesn't exist. You mentioned, Jeff, with the ladder of awakening, that we're outsourcing, not outsourcing, what do you call it? Outpicturing. We're outpicturing the world from those different levels or rungs of the ladder as well. And once we're all in that same outpicturing of unity, love, source, consciousness, co-creating, when we're there, very little conflict even is even in the picture. Like it just doesn't even exist in that outpicturing.
That's true. Yeah. It doesn't arise. There's no impulse to be in conflict. It simply can't happen.
It can't happen. It doesn't arise. I love your language. Jeff, we have about 5 more minutes of before we need to bring this to a close. Is there anything more you want to say to our listeners today when we talk about this process we're in, where we're going, and how to literally be and become this source consciousness that we're talking about today?
Well, you just said it, be and become this source consciousness. I gave some practices before. I mentioned gratitude and joy and forgiveness. To the extent that we practice deep listening to the roots and beyond the roots, as I said, of our being. So we're listening for, maybe initially it's guidance to help us navigate lives that are very complex. We're listening for the source code, the instructions for how life works. That's sort of my job, to articulate how life really works. I'm happily doing it every day with writing. What we discover as we source is that we are source. What does source do? Sources sourcing constantly. So when we are sourcing, we are source. And we were never other than source, mind you. So I'm talking about being conscious and being realized, being source realized. So to practice sourcing, we could call it intuition. I would just add the nuance, though. It's practicing intuition in a kind of two-way process of inquiry, where maybe in our hearts, or maybe in our minds, they're one, we're asking the question, and then we're receiving the answer from nobody else and nowhere else, because it's coming from the source within. And so this is reconnecting us. Every instance of sourcing is kind of rewiring us to know our source nature, to know the wholeness of ourselves. So wholeness is an experience and a confirmation that this is working.
That's gorgeous. You know, when you did share those practices and suggestions, it wasn't like go out and do anything laborious. You were inviting us to change our state of being. Almost all of those: joy, forgiveness, love. Like the delight of joy is an instantaneous shift in consciousness. And I love that. And I love this idea of being rewired now. And it's almost like the defragging, right? We're recreating a brand new operating system by clearing out the old and defragging. So it's beautiful. Our friend Dot Maver says, she's been saying a lot lately, that we're not moving out of this operating system or upgrading this operating system. We're really moving into a new co-operating system. And I love that idea. I love that idea. Jeff, thank you for your time today, sharing your wisdom, sharing your gifts with so many around the planet. I so appreciate you, like I mentioned at the top of the show, so much. And I'm grateful for you and your message that you bring today.
Thank you, Julie. I'm grateful to be here again and for your years of consistently inviting the messages of hope and empowerment to come into the world more fully and circulate as we, in this circulation process, can and are remanifesting.
Nice. Thank you. And listeners, thank you for showing up today. I want to leave you with the words of Jeff. The world is in a healing crisis. It is true that the crises are many and extreme, yet the overall process is leading to a profound healing of the collective psyche of the whole human family. When the collective psyche is healed, humanity will be shocked by its own capacity to resolve conflicts and heal the biosphere. I'm Julie Kroll. You've been listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Remember, together we are creating connections for the good of the whole. Until next time, I'm sending you a world of love. Bye for now. If you enjoyed the show, go to your favorite podcast platform. Remember to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, please consider supporting the Dr. Julie Show at patreon.com/allthingsconnected. When we each give a little, we all get a little more. You can stay in touch with me at juliekrollemail.com. Thanks for listening.